Dr. Dre, man, let's get this party started, my brother.
Cut. What's today? Today's Tuesday. Don't adjust your dial.
Oh, here we go. Here we go. You ready? You ready, Rob?
Come on, man. Let's go. Let's go.
Yeah. Well, man. Here we go.
Your time is up. My time is now.
College and pro football. That's all we got on the agenda for tonight.
We love it, of course. Welcome to Talking Sports with the 12th Man. We're on a Tuesday night, and we're going to test out. This may be a new night for us, but more about that. But, of course, you are tuning in to Talking Sports. Today is Tuesday, September the 18th. I am Andre Peterson, joined by Robert Ford. And as always, Rob was alluding to that, we're going to set the table for a very, very busy night of sports talk. First and foremost, we're going to talk about Notre Dame football and the ACC, what's kind of going on with that. So we're going to get some more feedback about that. We're going to talk about who is the Heisman leader after 3 weeks. I know it's kind of early, but let's kind of talk about this. And we're going to talk about some predictions for some big-time college games this weekend. I had a bad weekend last week, but we'll talk about that a little bit later.
I'm gaining on you, my brother.
We'll talk about Michael Turner. I know this is Robert's favorite thing, Michael Turner and some DUI issues after the big game by the Falcons last night. I never want to see that happen to any player. I know. We just want to keep it real. It just kind of sucks, but we'll keep it real. We'll talk about a big move by the Patriots. We're going to talk about the dreaded replacement refs. We're going to talk about Justin Tuck. He called out Tampa Bay. We're going to talk about Vilma, some subpoenas, NFL predictions, top five NFL teams, and, of course, we're going to give some shout-outs to our fantasy people on 12 Sports. So, Rob Ford, how you doing, sir? You okay?
Man, doing great. Got a nice run on the lake this evening, about 5 or 6 miles. Feeling great right now. I'm sure I'm going to be sleeping well after the show. But let's get right down to business. As you heard, we have several topics to talk about. First off, we want to give people an opportunity to call in if you want to talk and join in on anything that we may be talking about tonight. 424-243-9519. Please call in with any questions that you may have concerning anything. Also, remember to like us on Facebook, Talking Sports with the 12th Man. Follow us on Twitter at 12th Man Sports. We have all kind of sports updates all week long, so continue to follow us, continue to like us, and please call in during our show tonight. But let's get right down to business here. We're going to kick it off with some Notre Dame football. We talked about this on last week a little bit, and Notre Dame is joining the ACC, the Atlantic Coast Conferences, in all sports except for football. We talked about last week, is Notre Dame being arrogant or not being arrogant? Are they still relevant or not relevant in college football? And I kind of got the gut feeling now. Last week, of course, you know, once again, they're not joining ACC in football. But I'm going to predict tonight, September 18th, 2012, and in sometime in the next 8 years, by 2020, Notre Dame will join the ACC in football as well. Now, we know that Notre Dame has a contract with NBC until 2015. They typically renew those contracts in five-year intervals. I believe they will renew another contract with NBC from 2015 until 2020, so they will sign for another five-year interval. But I just kind of got this gut feeling, based on a lot of things that I'm hearing, by 2020, I think Notre Dame will be a full participant in ACC in all sports, including football. I think that's the only way they're going to become a national title contender, the only way they're going to be relevant in the bowl system. And, I mean, their football team is playing well this season off their 3-0 start. We're going to talk about their game shortly this weekend against Michigan. But I just think that this is the step they're going to have to take. They're going to try to be independent for a little while longer. But by 2020, I think they're a full participant in ACC.
Do you think, based upon this agreement, and obviously you love how everything plays out, too, if this actually comes down, what do you think kind of brings about this change? Is it more or less like, obviously, they want to become a national championship, but do you think they're going to keep a lot of those games that have become known for Notre Dame, as mentioned, like playing outside the USCs, the Michigans? Do you think that can still happen within the framework of the ACC?
Well, of course, you're going to have to play at least 8 conference games, of course. So, I mean, but you still have an opportunity to play 4 or 9 conference games. You can still play the Michigans. You can still play the USC's. You can still play the Michigan States, those are probably Notre Dame's 3 biggest rivals, you know. And so you can still play those opponents. And you'll, you know, rotate whoever that other 4 or 9 conference team will be. But, you know, the USC's, the Michigans and the Michigan States, you can still face those opponents year in and year out. And then you incorporate some old rivals. Of course, Notre Dame had a rivalry with Miami for a long time. They're going to be joining them in ACC. You incorporate Florida State, another opponent Notre Dame played for a long time. So they'll get to incorporate some new rivalries and still be relevant on the East Coast, where most of their student body comes from as well.
Yeah, obviously, I think it's a great move. We talked about this earlier as far as how it fits in with the ACC, because in addition to, you know, obviously having the brand Notre Dame and they're starting to play well, as mentioned, they are national. So, you know, anything that can help out, I think it fits perfectly as far as geographically, as far as playing all those schools along the ACC. So, you know, obviously it does kind of fit with Big East too, but you know, obviously having a stronger conference with the ACC, that will definitely make us look good. I know the SEC kind of rules. But, you know, obviously being the second, you know, we'll be a little brother for now. And obviously it actually adds some type of, definitely adds a little, you know, makes us look good, if you will. So I think it's a good move.
Yeah. And I think the ACC and Notre Dame need each other here because, you know, prior, this BCS system has been a big six, but this playoff system seems to be narrowing down to a big four. What I mean by that is it seems like they are kind of eliminating the ACC and the Big East out of this big picture here, and then narrowing it down to the SEC, Big 12, Big 10, and Pac-12 as the four major conferences. And it seems as though they're trying to eliminate the ACC and the Big East. And so Notre Dame and the ACC definitely kind of needs each other here in this situation.
Yeah, I think the word I was looking for is credibility. I'm sorry, I was kind of like losing my words, but it actually adds a little credibility to us. And like I said,
yes,
if something's true, I'm looking forward to it, man. You know, like I said, I love it. So obviously we got to wait about 8 years or so for this actually happens, but, you know, we'll see how it plays out, definitely.
Yes, there's still a ways to go, but Notre Dame is slowly making their way to joining ACC.
Gotcha. We'll see how that plays out. I guess let's talk about a lot of things here about, as I mentioned, we're going to talk about Notre Dame, who they play this weekend as far as some big games too. But let's talk about the Heisman leader after 3 weeks here. I know this is very interesting because, you know, obviously Matt Barkley took a step back with an amazing, some people might not call it an upset with Stanford, but Stanford played very well to kind of knock them out. Maybe he dropped a little bit. You know, obviously you got a lot of interesting guys up there. And I'm going to talk about some dark horse players. I know obviously you talk about Geno Smith from West Virginia, the Anthony Thomas. What do you think about a Jonathan Franklin and or a Sammy Watkins from Clemson? I don't know, want to hear your thoughts. And, you know, I know these kind of people that are kind of dark horses, but, you know, obviously we got the Geno Smiths, but what do you think about these other guys too?
Well, Jonathan Franklin is actually my third choice right now. He's having a tremendous year for UCLA, and UCLA has been one of the surprise teams in college football this year. Got to give Jim Morrow Jr., you got to tip your hat to him. He's doing a phenomenal job there thus far. And I actually can't wait to see UCLA play USC. I think that rivalry could be back. And, I mean, that's going to be huge toward the end of the year here this year in the Battle of Los Angeles. UCLA and the two pro coaches, Jim Morrow Jr., Lane Kiffin. You know, Lane Kiffin's got Monty Kiffin on the staff as well. And, you know, that should be a huge game. USC, I even said on our show last week, I wasn't that impressed with them. And then, sure enough, they turn around and get beat at Stanford this past weekend. I didn't expect that, but, I was kind of seeing that they weren't playing that great. But I still didn't expect them to lose at Stanford. But I still think by the end of the year that they'll still be a contender in that Pac-12. But I kind of looking forward to that UCLA-USC battle. So, yeah, Jonathan Franklin is actually my third choice. But my number one Heisman candidate right now is Geno Smith. The guy's been phenomenal for West Virginia. I mean, I know it's only 3 weeks into the season, but he's doing a phenomenal job. You got to think that his stock is rising here in the NFL. and, you know, could possibly work his way up to being a second-round pick, maybe even sneaking into the first round. But he's doing a phenomenal job throwing the football around in that wide-open offense that they run up there in West Virginia. And so far, after 3 weeks, he is definitely my pick for the Heisman winner. Still got a long way to go. But right now, I would have to say Geno Smith is my number one choice. DeAnthony Thomas, running back at Oregon, is my second choice, with Jonathan Franklin, UCLA, being my third choice.
Yeah, I got you. And the biggest thing, obviously, I agree with you, he's playing well. And you got to look at also the team that he's playing. I'm not sure if they've played any, you know, you got to figure out if they've played some, as the schedule goes along, and start playing a lot of tougher teams too. But, you know, like I said, he's doing his thing. I agree with you as far as DeAnthony Thomas. He is actually running crazy. You like Oregon, that kind of wide-open thing, too. And as you mentioned, of course, Jonathan Franklin, like you said, very, very surprising running back out of UCLA. So, yeah, it's going to be very interesting going into the back half of the season. What do you think about Matt Barkley? Do you think he's kind of like an outside shot, or just, I mean, do you think one game is going to knock him off that much, or do you think it's more or less like, you know, he'll definitely sneak back in as the year goes along?
Well, definitely. USC still has a lot of big games on their schedule, so he can easily work his way back into this. You know, you got Notre Dame on the schedule. You have Oregon on the schedule. You possibly may play in the Big 12 championship game. So he can easily play his way into it. Didn't play that well at Stanford, but his protection was awful. Stanford was drilling him in that ball game. If you had an opportunity to see it, I mean, they were killing Matt Barkley in that game. I mean, I was feeling sorry for him. I'm thinking he's going to leave that game with some broken ribs, the way they were hitting him. And, I mean, he was getting drilled almost every other play, and the protection was horrible. And so obviously it didn't help him. But, you know, one thing you got to remember about USC, they have some very good starters, but they don't have a lot of depth on their football team. They're still recovering from the probation where they didn't have as many scholarships to offer. So they don't have a lot of depth on that football team. And you can see it in that game. Stanford was just whipping the USC offensive line.
Yeah, that was an amazing game. You know, I didn't get a chance to watch it, but whenever I kept getting updates, I was like, what? And you thought that it was going to be a little bit, you thought they were going to be in control of that game. But, you know, obviously Stanford came prepared. And I think, you know, last week whenever you listened to the show, we were definitely calling it. You actually did a good job. You said it was going to be a close game. You thought they were going to pull it out in UCLA. USC, but, you know, obviously Stanford had a different story to take, and you got to give them credit for actually executing a very good game plan and, you know, just really, really handing it to USC.
You got to give David Shaw a lot of credit at Stanford, too, the head coach up there. You know, I think, you know, last year people were saying, hey, that was Jim Harbaugh's team, and, you know, rightfully so. But you got to give David Shaw a lot of credit. This guy's a great offensive coach. And he's doing a great job, and I think he should be at Stanford for a long time to come here, you know, continue to elevate that program up there in the Bay Area.
Gotcha. We're going to keep moving. Once again, for those who want to call into the show, we thank you for listening on a special Tuesday night edition of Talking Sports with 12th Man. The number to call in is of course, 424-243-9519. And continue to like us on Facebook and tweet us those questions. Real quick, Rob, I just want to say a quick thing, we're going to talk about some college games as well. There were a lot of upsets this past weekend, and you know, we're going to talk about some big games with Pitt beating number 13 Virginia Tech, Notre Dame over Michigan State, and of course a slight upset Florida over Tennessee. But let's talk about some big games going into this weekend. We got Michigan at Notre Dame, the aforementioned Michigan in Notre Dame, and it looks like Notre Dame is actually a 5-point favorite. I have got Notre Dame in this game, too, only because, you know, I picked against them last week. I think they have something to prove, and hopefully they won't let me down, but I picked them in this game because it's at Notre Dame, too. So we'll see how that plays out.
Yes, I like Notre Dame in this matchup against Michigan. I was actually pretty impressed with the way Notre Dame played on both sides of the ball against Michigan State this past weekend, and I see them winning this game at home against Michigan. I think Michigan is a little bit overrated this year. I mean, they started off the season in the top 10. I don't think they're that good, and I like Notre Dame to win this game possibly as much as 2 touchdowns here. And you and I both, well, we were wrong on all of our major games last week on the show. So, I mean,
yeah.
So we're going to let America know that obviously we're not geniuses here. But we missed on all of our picks last week on the big three college football games last week.
Yeah, I don't think it was because of by design, but just, you know, just how things played out in different circumstances, and just kind of, like I said, it's, that's the beauty of the games, you know. So a lot of,
that's why they play the games.
a lot of close games, as you mentioned. But, you know, like I said, if we'd go back and look at it, you know, I'm sure we were thinking in our right mind, but just pretty good games, and kind of looking at the statistics and things happen that way. Another one that we're going to jump into is number 13, Kansas State, going against number 6, Oklahoma. This is at Oklahoma. Last year, Oklahoma had a field day, kind of throwing the ball over that secondary, and pretty much the same secondary comes back, but all you have is experience. So, you know me, I'm not a really big fan of Oklahoma because of the big game thing and Bob Stoops, but I actually think they're going to pull this out again. They are 14-point favorites, and I think it's going to. I think they're going to kind of do the same thing against Kansas State this year.
Yeah, I like Oklahoma to win this game. Landry Jones. This is Oklahoma still another team that I haven't been overly impressed with so far this year, but I still like them to win this game at home. But this is one of those games, just like I said last week, I think it's going to be closer than the experts think, in the words of Lee Corso. I think Kansas State is going to keep this game really close, and I see a 7 points or less victory by Oklahoma at home in this ball game.
Wow, 7 points. We're going to talk about number 10, Clemson, going against number 4, Florida State. Florida State is a 14-point favorite in this particular game. As much as Clemson scares a lot of people with Sammy Watkins coming back from his little suspension there, I think FSU is going to pull this one out. I don't think they have enough weapons to stand up against Florida State. So that's my thing for Clemson.
I tell you what, you know, I know last week on our show we did a segment of which college football team looked the best. I know we don't quite have that on the agenda for tonight, but I'm going to go ahead and say it anyway. I think Florida State, right there with Alabama, were the most impressive teams in college football this past weekend.
And wow.
Florida State, E.J. Manuel, I mean, that offense there looks explosive. Their defense is looking like they were in the 80s and 90s. This team looks like a legitimate national title contender, the legitimate ACC title contender, and I like Florida State in this game at home. And like I said, this past weekend, I thought Florida State and Alabama were the two most impressive teams in college football. I like Florida State to keep it rolling.
Gotcha. Now we're going to talk about number 22, Arizona going to number 3, Oregon. Oregon is actually a 24-point favorite in this game. And as much as Rich Rodriguez has come in and done an amazing job of turning around the Arizona program, I think he's definitely going to run into more of a juggernaut with Oregon. I think they're going to cruise to an easy victory against Arizona.
Yes, Rich Rodriguez, got to give him a lot of credit. He's really turning their program around up there out west in Arizona. And but, yeah, I definitely like Oregon. They're just too much firepower on offense. Arizona won't be able to keep up, but I look for Arizona to still have a solid season. Oregon definitely pulls this one out.
Gotcha. Well, that's kind of a quick recap of everything that happened for some predictions for the college games this weekend. Hopefully you're taking notes about this. Hopefully we'll do better this week than we did last week. So for those of
listening real
out
quick,
there.
Before we get into NFL coverage here, let's kind of do our quick shout-outs from our fantasy leagues here, 12-man sports fantasy leagues. Once again, we would like to thank all of you for playing. And quick shout-outs, including yourself. You're one of the two teams in the 12-man sports league that's 2-0. Crazy Crew, Wayne DeGrange is still up there, 2-0 as well. And also Saints Hornets 23, Ronald, shout-out to you as well. Had the biggest victory in week two here in fantasy football. I think he had like a 180-93 victory. That's like a complete annihilation. And so definitely shout-outs to the three of you all for the 12-man sports fantasy football league, and also to Survival League. And everybody has strikes except for one person, Christina Hart. Shout-out to you as well. The only person in the league that doesn't have any strikes. She picked New England in week one, picked Pittsburgh this past 2 weeks. So she is the leader of the pack in survival football. And it's still not over yet, but she's definitely at the top of the league right now. And in the college pick'em, my co-host Andre Peterson is still leading. But we got a couple of people, including myself, that's right on that tail. And we're coming for you, my brother. Congratulations to you for being in first place after the first 3 weeks. And so we just wanted to take a little quick minute to do a quick shout-out section before we move on to our NFL topics, which we have a lot of, which we may not cover all of it in our live portion, but we want to encourage you all to be able to listen to the OT portion of our show. Whenever you're taking a little lunch break or something tomorrow at your desk, you know, just click it and click on the link to our show, and you can listen to the entire 45 minutes, including the OT portion. And you can send us some questions over Facebook and Twitter if you don't like something we said or if you like something we said. So with that being said, let's move right along, Dr. Peterson.
I love it. I love it. Yeah, and I just want to say thank you for the shout-out, too. That's great, man. I can't believe I picked New England this past the first half Survival League and got shocked with them losing to Arizona like everyone else, too. So, you know.
Yes, including myself.
It is what it is. We didn't see that one coming. We got about 9 minutes left for the show. And before we talk about that, I just want to say we have to give our special shout-out to something that happened to Steve Sabo, the innovator behind a lot of things as far as NBA, NFL films. A legendary, innovative, iconic figure has passed today. So that was a big, big shock for those that didn't know about that. So obviously, prayers go out to his family. He lost his battle with brain cancer. And just a visionary behind everything with the way we see the NFL right now and everything, the way we film it and kind of do the sound effects. Everything we give him is based upon that legacy. So, you know, obviously, he's doing that up in heaven, hopefully, sir. And we just like to thank you for everything he's done to kind of put the NFL the way that it is, too. So I just wanted to give a special note about that as well.
Yes, definitely, definitely, definitely glad you brought that up as well. Steve Sabo has definitely been an innovator when it comes to NFL on television. And I, for one, have been a huge fan of NFL films for years and years. Even as a kid, I was able to watch, you know, a lot of NFL films from the 60s and 70s and be fascinated by some of the players in the olden days. So definitely Steve Sabo has done a tremendous job with NFL films, and may you rest in peace, and we definitely want to send our prayers to his family as well.
Yeah, and like I said, the whole thing with the whole, like, behind the whole thing about the Super Bowl rings and the missing rings and all that, that's something behind it too. So just an amazing part. Hopefully that vision will keep going no matter how tough it is, but hopefully he'll keep going with that vision too. I'm going to kind of skip around, Rob. I'd like to talk about, I know we got some big games here that we want to talk about too, but I guess we can move forward. I guess we'll talk about that and do the OT. I wanted to talk about, if you thought about, we can talk about some top five NFL teams, but I guess let's talk about this. I don't know, I kind of thought you can talk about that or the DUI or kind of how you want to move forward. We've got about 7 minutes left in the show.
We can kind of talk about the top five teams and then the DUI and then kind of move along there. The top five teams in the NFL, this is where I kind of see it right now. Right now, I think the San Francisco 49ers right now are clearly the number one ranked team in the NFL right now. I've been most impressed with them and their defense. They've been phenomenal, have really taken it to two of the elite offensive teams in the league. And so those of you all in the Bay Area, I know we have a lot of listeners in that area. And I know you're all going to like that, but I think they've definitely played the best defense. And I'm very impressed with Alex Smith so far this year, too. He's looking like a Pro Bowl caliber quarterback. So as of right now, I mean, they look like the strong contender out of the NFC. They go on a nice road win at Green Bay and then taking care of Detroit, two prolific offenses. Number two, I have Houston. I think Houston is looking like the team to beat in the AFC right now. You know, it's very strong running game, solid passing game. Wade Phillips is doing a phenomenal job with that defense. And I know we have some Houston listeners there in the Houston area as well, so I want to give them some props. They're playing extremely well so far. I look for them to be a strong candidate for the Super Bowl representing the AFC. My third pick is going to be a slight surprise here. I'm going to go with the Philadelphia Eagles. The Philadelphia Eagles have had 9 turnovers offensively in these first couple of games, and they've still managed to pull both of these games out. The Eagles' defense has been phenomenal. They had over 500 and some yards of offense against the Ravens this past weekend, and they're still at the 9 turnovers is kind of hurting them. This is a team, if they can just cut the turnovers down, this team is going to be a hard team to beat, in my opinion, based on what I'm seeing. And number four, even though they've lost the game, I'm going to go with Green Bay Packers at 1-1. Even though they've lost the game, I got to go with the Packers. They still look like a strong offensive team. And their defense is looking to be much improved as well. I mean, they did lose their opener to the Niners, but that's why the Niners are ranked number one on this list. And number five, I'm going to give props to your Atlanta Falcons. And I was thoroughly impressed with Atlanta's defense on last night, forcing turnovers, baiting Peyton Manning and some INTs. And so you got to give them a lot of credit. And the Falcons didn't turn the ball over on last night either, so you got to give them credit for that. And so I got to give credit to the Atlanta Falcons, even though I'm a Saints fan and I hate it, but I got to give credit where credit is due. I was thoroughly impressed with the Falcons on last night.
What do Falcons fans do? Falcons fans, they rise up. Thank you, Samuel L. Jackson.
Man, we ain't asking for your commentary, man.
You know,
get to your predictions.
I really didn't think that you were gonna throw us some love, man. I'm kind of caught off guard by this. This is kind of a new thing.
I speak the truth, so I call it the way I see it.
I give you that. I'm gonna go with I agree with number one for our Bay Area listeners. Yeah, we're gonna go show you guys some love. This is kind of ironic because the 49ers used to terrorize us in the 90s, man. So the fact that we're actually giving them props is kind of us showing our growth here. But, yeah, San Fran, I've got the number one in the rankings. You got to go with number two, the Houston Texans, as you mentioned. They're playing phenomenal, so they're definitely up there. Number three, sir, I got to go a little higher for you. I got to go with my Falcons at number three.
That's a biased pick. That's a biased pick, America.
But number three, we're playing well. Nobody expected us to come in and do what we did to Peyton Manning, because if you're watching a lot of the pregame shows, it was pretty much all about Peyton Manning, what he was going to do, too. And for us to play as well as we did, yes, granted, we had to hold on, but I think that was a very impressive win by the Falcons and going against a Hall of Fame quarterback like Peyton Manning. I think that's good. Now, number four, I've got the Packers. Obviously, they're a one-loss team too, but you can't fault them. They played against obviously a great San Francisco team. And number five, I had some trouble with this one because, you know, with the Patriots losing to Arizona, I just think I was kind of torn between them and the Ravens. But I'm gonna go with the Patriots for the number five team. So all my Patriot fans, there you go. All you out in Boston, I showed you some love too. So that's how we're going to do.
Chargers are playing well, too. They would have been my number six pick if we would have gone six. The Chargers are playing extremely well. I like what they're doing as well.
Yeah, there's a lot of teams, too, that can be kind of, you know, honorable mention. But like you said, it's tough right now. We're still kind of early in the season. But, you know, it's only been like 3 weeks. Let's talk about for the Heisman and for everything, too. So you can only gauge it as far as what teams are playing well. And each week there's always a new team that's kind of going to emerge. And obviously a team that surprises you, especially if you look at the Dolphins, I'm sure – you would pick any team to you know, beat them, and they go in there and kind of handle business against Oakland, too. So it just kind of goes to show you any week, any team can actually do well, too. So probably got about
exactly
2 minutes, a two-minute warning here. I guess you want to set up the show for next week, or any thoughts you have as we get ready to get into the OT portion of the show?
Well, let's kind of wrap up this show here, the live portion of our show. Once again, we do have an OT portion, and you can't get live, but either sometime tonight or tomorrow. Like I say, if you're on your lunch break or driving in your car, you can listen, click on our link, and you can listen to our OT portion and get all of our NFL predictions and coverage. So we still got a lot more NFL coverage to talk about. So please listen to our OT portion. Tell us what you think. You agree with us, disagree with us. Like us at Talking Sports with the 12th Man on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at 12th Man Sports. We're available to take questions throughout the week as well. You can get all kind of sports updates throughout the week as well. Next week, we'll be talking more football, recapping week three of the NFL, previewing week four. We'll be recapping week four of college football, previewing week five. So it'll be more college football. We'll be back on Tuesday night again next week, a week from tonight. So we're going to be trying out this Tuesday night thing and see how it works. So please join us 11 Eastern, 10 Central, a week from tonight, September 25th. We're going to wish you all a great remainder of this week. Take care, America.
I could not say that better myself. As always, yeah, like I said, we love all the feedback. Robert does a great job. You know, sometimes I jump on there too, but I got to give a lot of props to Robert as far as updating everything that's going on in the sports world, hitting the Twitter, doing a great job on the Facebook page. But, yeah, we love interaction. If you guys have anything you want to talk about, any topics and any things that you want us to focus on, definitely let us know, because we definitely want you guys to feel like you guys are a part of the show and be interactive with us, too. So that's what it's all about. Me and Robert are pretty easy going, too, so we don't like to we don't rock the boat too much, but if you want us to kind of show some little love and some little interaction as well, we're here for you guys as well. But other than that, talk to you guys soon and listen to the OT portion of the show.
Good night, America.
We'll talk to you guys soon. And 3, 2, 1, we kick off into the OT portion of the show. And yes, am I happy about this part? No. Mr. Michael Turner gets arrested for suspicion of DUI. So, obviously, I'm not sure what it is as far as us and big games and kind of getting into trouble, too. So, not a good thing. Obviously, as you know, the NFL definitely has a program in that they have drivers put aside for people just in case. So this is just another dumb decision. And the only thing I have to say about this and that, I don't agree with everything that that happened with him drinking and stuff like that, is that I don't think Michael Turner is a bad guy per se. I don't think this is kind of a situation where he's always been a troublemaker. So maybe this is kind of a one-time thing. And hopefully he'll definitely learn his lesson and just kind of put this aside too, because this is not something that you need to focus on, especially following our momentum that we had after a great win and the history of us, obviously, in 93, whenever we had the same problem with Eugene Robinson kind of going haywire before the Super Bowl. So we don't want to bring up those bad memories, but just live and learn, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And I totally agree with you. I definitely don't think Michael Turner is a bad individual at all. You never heard him getting in trouble in the past as well. Just one of those wrong place, wrong time, wrong bad decision kind of moments. But, none of us are perfect. We all slip up from time to time. And, I'm sure he's going to learn from it. And, like I said, I don't necessarily think the dictator should come down hard on him. And, and hopefully he doesn't. But, the dictator's in the office, so we don't know what to expect in this situation. When you're dealing with the dictator, I'm referring to Roger Goodell, just in case you all didn't know.
Let's talk about the dictator and his meeting with Vilma. Obviously, we're going to talk about some subpoenas that he had. And this has been Jonathan Vilma is not backing down. So he has a lot of things to say. I don't know whether you like this. He's kind of challenging everything or what the deal. And just as a segue, too, you hope that with Steve Sable passing that Roger will kind of soften up and actually realize that the league is not about him. Let's take a step back and kind of make the league better, So I don't know your thoughts about the subpoenas and what's been going on as far as the Bounty case and kind of your thoughts about what's going on with this, Rob.
Well, yeah, Roger Goodell is just, he's actually ruining the game right now. I hate to say it. I mean, the officiating has been awful. I know we're going to talk about that here in a second, but he's being very stubborn with these replacement refs. I mean, the officiating, it has been dead awful, just straight up awful. These guys don't know how to call the line of scrimmage. They don't know how to call pass interference. They call pass interference when it's not pass interference. I mean, the pace of the games are horrible. They're longer, and they just have no control of the games. I mean, it's just awful. And I think Roger Goodell is doing a horrible job handling that. Getting back to the bounty thing, I've said it going back as far as April on our show that Roger Goodell has went about this whole thing the wrong way as well. And I know many of you all think I'm saying this just because I'm a Saints fan, but no, that's not the reason. When the story first broke, I said this is bad. The Saints shouldn't have been doing that. But as more and more evidence comes out, there's just more and more information that's just not going on the NFL side. First of all, Roger Goodell has totally mishandled this whole situation. I mean, he suspended Jonathan Vilma without even telling him what he was suspended for. And now he's trying to tell him that he's got some sworn affidavits. Why wait till after the football season has started, and be a distraction? Why wait till now to say you have some kind of information on him? And now as the information is coming out, the affidavits that Roger Goodell has from Greg Williams and Mike Cirillo, they're not even matching up. They've already broken down that. The stories that they both are telling are not even adding up. It's just not looking good. It's not looking good for the NFL. It's not making sense. And Jonathan Vilma has 9 affidavits saying that he didn't do anything wrong. Well, Goodell has 2 saying that he does. It's just ugly. And all they had to do was talk this stuff through way back in March and April, as opposed to just coming down, laying down a hammer with these suspensions when you don't have all accurate information. And it's just a horrible situation. And I don't think a guy like Vilma would be fighting this hard if he was not innocent. I mean, let's just be real. Let's just be real. A guy would not be fighting this hard if he did not do anything wrong. If he did something wrong, he would have took his punishment. I can promise you that. A guy would not be fighting this hard if he did not do anything wrong. That's just my take on it. I've said it back since April, once the story started kind of unfolding a little bit, and I'm sticking to it.
Yeah, well, I just want to give you credit. I mean, you definitely have been pretty consistent as far as that. And to kind of, you know, we have to see evidence at this point. I'm at the point now where it's like, let's kind of, like, shut up the naysayers. If you got something, let's show the world, hey, this is what we have on you guys. That way, there's not no he said, she said, or, you know, whatever. So, you know, and you know, like I said, I understand you're trying to protect the shield dictator, but for real, you know, this is getting a little too crazy now. So let's kind of, like, get this all out of the open. This is what we have. And that way we can let the world say, okay, yeah, you know, this is not this. And maybe he's scared as far as, you know, maybe it's not enough. I don't know. But it's okay that you made a mistake. Everyone makes mistakes, like you said earlier. But let's just get it out of the open and let's kind of end this and say, hey, you know, guys, hey, I made a mistake as far as this, or, you know, this is what, or let's lessen some of the things. I don't know. Something's got to be done just because for the sake and the sanity of everyone involved, too. This is just going a little too far.
Yeah. He's got to swallow his pride on this bounty thing. He's got to swallow his pride on the officials for the betterment of the game. And, you know, he's got to swallow it. He's got to swallow it. I mean, I look at a lot of the NFL analysts on Twitter. I mean, a lot of people from all over the country that just are not in agreement with the way Roger Goodell is running his league right now. We're football fans. We're going to watch the game. I mean, we're huge football fans. I mean, we're going to watch. I mean, my team is 0-2, but I'm still tuning into all the games because I'm a football fan. And so we're going to watch regardless. And so Roger Goodell is taking us as fans for granted. And that's what he's doing. He said, hey, whether we have replacement refs or regular refs, you know, people are going to watch the game. And so he's taking that for granted, and that's why he's doing this.
Yeah, like you said, talking about the replacement refs, and obviously if you watched last night's game, it was ridiculous how long that game lasted. I mean, obviously, he had an extra hour as far as things that were going on. It just didn't make any sense. I know a lot of the Broncos fans felt like a lot of calls went against them. And like I said, being a Falcon fan, obviously I think that, you know, we played well to kind of stop a lot of things. But there were a lot of calls that kind of went, that could have went, you know, both ways. You know, obviously the Broncos getting some extra yards here and there, some pass interference calls, some holding calls. Different things that go on throughout the course of the game, and everyone says that. But it is interesting, though, which kind of sucks because the regular refs, now we miss you guys. We used to talk about you guys. You never miss something until it's gone. Now we're saying, guys, you know, your experience, you made it look so easy. Thank you for that. Come back. I'm sure if Ed Hockeylees were there, or a lot of these guys, we wouldn't have a lot of fights that were going on, just no respect. And that's the thing that has to happen as far as getting this back. And Dictator Roger, you got to make this happen, man, because obviously, as you said, you can't be so arrogant to think that we're going to watch it, but, you know, we don't want the product to go bad, you know. So definitely do what you can to make this the best game on earth. Keep us happy. Swallow your pride. Do all that stuff. That's my final say on that. I didn't mean to go a little long on that, Rob. I'm just saying, you know.
Hey, I like it. I like it, though. I like it. You're speaking the truth. That's what we're about. We're speaking the truth. And that's just an actual fact that the way he's handling the situation is just very arrogant on his part, and needs to come off his high horse and get this league, you know, stable again. And you know, last night, like you said, the pace of that game was just awful. I mean, I saw just about the entire game, and it lasted almost 4 hours. It was incredible. They had no control over that game, And, of course, you guys rightfully won the game. Denver lost the game because they turned over the ball. I mean, there was one bad call, in my opinion, that went against Denver, and that was the fumble I believe No. Sean Marino fumbled and the ball went forward. And they gave the ball to Atlanta, even though a Denver guy came up with it. I had never seen anything like that before in my life. And that was the one really horrible call of the game. But for the most part, it was the pace of the game that was horrible.
Yeah, like I said, we'll have to see how that plays out. And for our regular NFL refs, we miss you guys. We'll show you guys a little love. We appreciate what you did. So just something to say. Let's talk about some things that happened. And obviously we're going to talk about some interesting comments that Justin Tuck had about Tampa Bay and calling it classes. But I just want to say I was actually right last week about the Jay Cutler and his 4 interceptions. You got to give me some props.
Yes,
props too,
because, you did say that. He did exactly that, too.
Didn't I say he's going to throw 4 interceptions, man?
Yes. 4
interceptions. Oh, man.
I thought about that. I was thinking about you when it happened.
I'm sorry, Chicago fans. I know you guys got excited because you finally thought you had a franchise quarterback, but I don't like Jay Cutler's demeanor. You know, another guy I'm just not a fan of at all. You can't call out players and stuff like that on your team, man. Just doesn't look right, you know. So, anyway, they're going to – you can still surround certain things. And yeah. Anyway, I digress. Let's talk about Justin Tuck. What do you think about what happened with Tampa Bay and them kind of playing hard at the kneel down? They're trying to swap the ball and do something. What do you think about that? Do you think that's a good move or –
Well, the only thing
move.
I didn't like is it looked like they were going after a couple of guys' knees on a play, and that looked pretty intentional on my part, and that was probably the only thing I can understand. I'm trying to make a play, going for the ball, but let's not try to take out somebody's knees in the process, and that kind of looked a little bit of intentional, but you know, Greg Schiano is at least showing that, hey, Tampa Bay, we're not going to be a pushover. We're going to come to fight. So I like that a little bit. But, you know, let's not try to get anybody purposely injured in the process here. And that was probably the only thing I didn't like about the situation. So, you know, it's a classless. I don't know if I would go that far. But I would just say, you know, fight to the end. But let's keep it clean.
Yeah, like I said, I think you're it's one of those situations, too, where you're definitely putting yourself as a target, to say the least, kind of similar to what Rex Ryan does with the Jets, you know, making all these bravado statements. And after a while, people start, you know, saying, okay, you're going to start making these comments. We're going to, you know, we see you, Tampa Bay. And so the same thing, you know, so, you know, they're going to play hard and they're going to get that same type of thing coming right back at them, too. So as long as they're able to take that, then, like you said, I know you're trying to set a culture, Greg Schiano, about being tough, about playing through. But just be careful that it doesn't backfire on you, too, because, you know, you can't be coming back whenever somebody does the same thing to you, you know. So that's what I would say as far as that. We have to talk about a big move by the Patriots. They actually pick up a particular tight end, obviously with Aaron Hernandez going out for 4 to 6 weeks with that. I think he had an ankle injury, if I'm not mistaken. They pick up Kellen Winslow. What do you think about this move? Is this a good move? Can he still play? Why was he out? What are your thoughts about this move?
Well, obviously, I think it's a good move. I mean, this guy still caught 70-something passes last year for 700-something yards, a couple of touchdowns. I mean, he's obviously not as good as Rob Gronkowski or Aaron Hernandez, but I think in a pinch he can still come in and help this ball club. And New England's offense – You know, last week on our show, I thought that they were the most impressive team in week 1, but they looked like a dud in week 2 and looked like they can use another offensive weapon for Brady to kind of throw to. So I think, in a nutshell, it's a good move for the Patriots.
Gotcha. Well, cool. Well, like I said, we got about 2 minutes, Rob. Let's wrap it up. Set the stage for next week. For those that are listening to the OT portion, we, of course, thank you guys for tuning in. Definitely feel free to, as we talk about all the time, give us your comments, give us your feedback on Facebook. Obviously, Facebook, that's Talking Sports 12th Man. And obviously, Twitter, the number 12, TH Man Sports. You can follow us and get a lot of updates. And Rob will let you kind of wrap up as we get ready to close out this successful edition of the show.
Yeah, once again, we'd like to thank you all for listening. Once again, we'll be back on next Tuesday, September 25th. 10 o'clock Central, 11 o'clock Eastern, 8 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. for those of you all that are in Hawaii. We'll be talking once again more football, college and pro. We'll be recapping this weekend's games and previewing the following weekend's big games. So I don't know how much time we have. I know we had just a couple of NFL games this weekend with teams that were 2-0 going against 2-0. And so I think one of them was Arizona. And, of course, the Falcons at the Chargers. How do you see the Atlanta-San Diego game playing out?
It's a tough game, Rob. I'm not going to lie. This is one where we're going on the West Coast. San Diego's playing well, and they used to have a bad stigma as far as starting slow, but this is going to be a tough game, I think. You got to go. I like us because of the confidence as far as having a big game, too. I just don't want us to have a letdown. So, obviously, going with my heart, I'm picking Atlanta.